Or is our basket full of peace, freedom, happiness, serenity, joyfulness, capacity to love other people, to receive their love? That's it. You've got to figure out whatever I got's in me. And if I can't love myself, if I can't accept myself, if I can't make my alcoholism be a positive, creative acceptance of my own life and my family, alcoholism, positive, creative acceptance of my own life, what am I going to dump on other people? Poor me. That's nothing. That's nothing. It's not me. It's just because the kids are getting screwed up a little earlier because they got the availability and they got more people digging holes of them, you know. More people practicing conditional love on them. You keep your room clean. Why don't you pass your exams? Why don't you be like your brother? Why don't you be like somebody else? Why don't you do this? Why don't you stop picking your nose? Don't bite your finger. Ugh. You know, no one's else saying go on. Nobody's saying give it a best shot. Our whole treatment program, very, very unique things that go on there. You know, I can't go through all that with you, but all of it is geared to making life more meaningful, purpose rich, and fulfilling. And that's why there's 6 fire trucks, and that's why there's 3 St. Bernards, and that's why there's banjo bands, and that's why there's sailboats. Oh, fantastic summer. Fantastic summer. I just blew Michigan almost off the map. So, wow. A guy lent me a sailboat, 42 feet long. Okay, the sailboat sleeps 6 people, right? You know how many I'd put on it? 15. And go for 3 days. Now, we got 15 people who are in treatment, and we put them on a sailboat, right? And you really watch starting people start relating then. Now, they've all been in treatment, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks, and I put them on there. Men, women, they'd come in a port in Michigan. Come in a port that people would die, right? Oh, because they tell me after, you know, they watch a sailboat come in with 50. Now, I got blacks, Chicanos, Mexicans, girls, boys, everybody on the thing. Coming into a port to say, oh, my God, call the police right away. Right? We had a fantastic time. We'd be in port an hour and they'd find out what was going on. Within 2 hours, everybody was at our boat because we'd have the musicians and we'd be the entertainers. Right? And all these people who had everybody said, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. All of a sudden, they got the whole port entertaining them. They're watching people smile, they're watching people dance and say, hey, we're making this happen in people's lives. See, we all have to go to 4 hours of classes a day in the center. I run the center, but I mean, I got all these people working for me, but it's run just like Hitler without the warmth. It is. It is. You're up every morning at 6:30, 7 days a week. Saturdays and Sundays, you go to school for 4 hours. This is the only treatment center in the world. You're going to work on Saturdays and Sundays. I said, did you drink on Saturdays and Sundays? They say, yeah. It's okay, we work Saturdays and Sundays. Right? But you and I know we never learned it. How much do you remember what you learned in school? I was in school with all these degrees till I was 30. I don't remember a damn thing I ever learned in school. But I remember all of the other activities that I was involved in. Hockey, oh, geez, football. I was even a boxer. All that stuff. Right? It's very easy to sit in the classroom and say, let's go to a baseball game. I go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you've never been to a baseball game without a jug of wine or a case of beer or some pot or some pills, it gets to be a little frightening. It's like taking a fish out of the bowl and say, swim. So we go. Well, that's what the whole boat was all about, the sailing and getting up, doing anything they want. Fantastic experiences, fantastic. Put the pedestals there and people start getting on them. Is life more meaningful because of the fact that I'm an alcoholic? Have I got the first step? Am I going around saying, I'm an alcoholic, here's bad news. Wake up! It's a program of attraction, not a scare tactic program. Kid, you're lucky, boy, that you got in the program when you were 23. You never even know what suffering is all about. I spilt more in my tire than you ever did. That's crazy. These young kids have been to hell and back much more than I ever have to suffer. Lordy, lordy, lordy. And that's it. You know, kids coming away, hey, screaming for something to believe in, hoping for something to believe in, you know. And what faith is at that stage in a person's life is the belief in the experience of other people. Put your feet under the table. Count up the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, the decades of sobriety. That works. And all he needs is give me some of this faith. And if he sits down at a meeting and somebody says, hey, you haven't even suffered yet, go back out and qualify. Well, we get so smug. On my private country, I don't know, we're only getting 10% of the alcoholics come into AA anyway. We get souls, we sit around and, boy, we're God's chosen people. Don't let anybody else get part of the action, right? I'm a cross-addicted alcoholic. Oh, cross-addicted alcoholic, that's terrible. I'm a purist. Everybody wants to be a civil. I'm a CIA, Catholic Irish alcoholic. All I drank was booze. Is life more meaningful? You know what the whole spiritual thing is? That you and I develop in AA and in Al-Anon enough solitude, enough self-worth, enough self-love, enough self-dignity. Take the time through the internalization of these steps and prayer so that we develop that solitude within us that you and I can accept the stranger coming as a bearer of gifts. That's a spine-tingling phrase. And it's easy to say. The words just kind of roll off. But look around you. Very easy for me to say that. But to practice it, maybe it's the third, 15th, 20th time the person's coming at me. Maybe I've given them my best shot 17 times. What are we supposed to do? How many more times did you go? One more time. I know guys give all kinds of AA talks. Oh my God, they're so grateful about their new AA baby and their new AA house and their new AA job and home. Everybody's crying. They haven't talked to their wife in 6 weeks. That's not what responsibility is. That's not what allow life to challenge me is. You know, most of us want to push life out to where it's just a postage stamp. Or bing, we can handle it very easy. Quinn, fly in here, get on a plane at 6 o'clock, go play hockey, star of the Flying Fathers, right? Wow, I'm there for 3 nights. Now, the Flying Fathers is a very serious organization of 15 of the most brain-damaged loose loafers, one foot on a curb, none of their elevators go to the top floor, Catholic priests who play hockey for charity. I've been their regular goaltender since they brought me up. I played my minors with the Little Sisters of the Poor. Since my stay with the Flying Fathers, I've played 400 games. I've lost 2. The reason is we cheat. We have Sister Mary Shooter on the team, and when things get rough, I put plexiglass in front of the net. In the last 2 minutes, if we're still losing, I pull out a football, throw a touchdown pass. It's worth 6 goals. We always win. Our last game gave a $45,000 check to the Cancer Foundation of Canada. We've raised over $2 million. These guys are absolutely nuts. No, but you don't do that by just wishing it either. You know, I'm big 5-0 this year. I've passed the half a century mark. You know, and I found out they're using a much smaller puck recently. I'm also a sometime goaler for the Chicago Blackhawk Old Timers. Now, do you know how old the Chicago Blackhawk Old Timers are? 32. Right? Bobby Hull, Dennis Hull, you know, Dale Talon, Chico Mike. I played with them 2 weeks ago. I couldn't see the puck. Blew 2 past me. And Pat Stapleton's like, you want to move? And I said, why? I didn't see anything. But yeah, okay, to do those things, you know, means you got to get up, and you got to get up early in the morning. You got to go to dumb rinks where there's no people in the rinks and practice. Now, I'm an alcoholic, and my caliber of play is directly proportionate to the number of people in the rink. When there's nobody there, I couldn't stop a beach ball. But when there's 10, 12,000 people in the rink, well, the adrenaline gets going, and you eat it instead of letting it go by you, right? Very, very simple. This year, we go to Europe. I've never been to Europe. The last time they went to Europe, they lost 4 priests and never found them yet, right? We rig it so we can play all our games immediately, and then boys take off, and the skiers go skiing, and, you know, drinkers go drinking, and the prayers go to Rome. And somebody said, yeah, nobody's going to Rome, eh? Right? Fantastic guys. And we don't live in the same city. They're, you know, everybody lives in, so we only meet in the dressing room before the games. We raised over $2 million for the game. You know, what are you going to do? You want that type of reaction in life, you know, and I get a lot of good pluses out of that because I'm openly identified as an alcoholic. I was playing in Duluth, Minnesota last year. I got a letter. Father, I've been in AA for 5 years. My son's 14 years old. He has never talked to me since I've sobered up, and he thinks his mother is a drunken slut. And he's never been able to relate to me, and it's been very tense. But by God's providence, some type of way, tonight, he became the friend of the stick boy for the Flying Fathers, and we always pick kids in the neighborhood or in the ring to be our stick boy. And he came home that night, and he gave me a big hug, and he said, gee, Mom, you know, it's really okay. You're just a drunk like Father Quinn. Yeah. I get all kinds of stuff like that happening. Because when we're not on the ice, then we have to be in hospitals and schools. And my bag is mostly being in detox centers and things like that. Is life more meaningful, positive, because you're going around saying, nothing? That's what it's about, you know? Faith means do the action first. I find so many people, you know, oh, God, help me, you know, do this, do that, God. And they hold up a hoop and say, God, jump through this hoop and then I'll believe you're around. God, you prove to me that you're really involved in my life and then I'll start believing in you. And it doesn't work that way. The anatomy of faith is do something first and then it will happen. That means get out of the driver's seat. Your way doesn't work. Take the faith, the belief, and the experience of other people. Keep going to the tables. Start believing in God. That means you start doing some action. If you don't want to do the action, nothing is going to happen. All of those steps, again, in the past tense, because the second step depends on the action of the first. Third step depends on the action of the second. And the action of the third is found in the fourth, all the way down. But if we're going to sit back in our critical way and say, prove it to me, we can't prove it to you. I can't prove faith to you, and you can't disprove it to me. But if you think it's the same as putting a piece of toast in the toaster when it's plugged in and think it's going to pop up in 2 minutes, or that it's going to, it's like a calculator problem where you don't have to have any faith at all, no. You got to have faith. You got to take risks. You got to come out of yourself and get rid of the self-preoccupation and say, hey, I'm going to start forgiving people. I'm going to start liking. I'm going to start loving people. I'm going to change. I'm going to do some positive things. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody has needed. We don't have any proofs. We don't have any guarantees what's going to happen. But if you keep sitting back and saying, I gave up an ounce of love and I got hurt, so I'm never going to give up another ounce of love again. You're dead. I see that happening. It's really tragic. You know, who the heck are you, or who the heck am I in life that we don't have to take a few knocks, you know? And the knocks that we take is somebody really trying to get our attention, you know, to make us grow up and to live a more meaningful, purposeful life. Don't get geared in on the negative. I'm the last guy in the world who says, go around looking for a cross. You don't need to look for a cross. You know, we all got enough of them. But, you know, there's a sense to that thing. There's sense to even some of the trials that we have to go through, which get us out of ourselves, kind of knock the omnipotence out of us. There's that little selfishness that we brought into the world. You know, I'm king, majesty the baby, you better do what I say. Why do we get mad? Yep, then we get mad when somebody doesn't do exactly what we tell them to do. Faith, you know, even in my context as a priest, you know, Christ never performed one miracle on the face of this earth where people didn't demonstrate their faith in him first. You know, in front of Herod, in front of the Sanhedrin, in front of Pilate, even his own hometown. Now, you'd think the kid would get some respect in his own hometown. You'd think Roger Dangerfield had a problem, eh? Here, Christ has been raising the dead, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, comes back to his own hometown. They go, he's only the carpenter's son. They didn't accept him as the Messiah or as their Redeemer or anything. And know what he did in his own hometown? Zippo. Nothing. Nothing. When his own life depended upon it, nothing. If I'm saying nothing, where people demonstrated their faith, yeah, he did things for them because he was moved in human suffering, compassion, compati, to suffer with. Not to impress, but he identified with their suffering. There's nothing on the face of this earth that you've ever suffered or experienced God has not experienced either. But where they demonstrated their faith, he said, pick up your stretcher, walk, open your eyes and see, jump in the pool, get healed, lame walk, okay. But if you and I here in 1983 say, prove it to me. Get my computer out, and if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to do it. We're going to be losers. We're going to be losers. And so we have to get out of ourselves. That means we've got to take a little faith. We've got to start believing in what people tell us. You know? Someone says, I love you. You can't prove that. Yeah, prove it to me. We know how to prove it, man. Drip me and make. You can't prove that. You got to accept it on faith. But in our world, we have measurements. We want to measure everything. You know, I'm involved in professional athletics. We measure everything. You know? Everything's on computer. Who made the most tackles? Who made the most runs? Who can run 100 yards? Brrr, boom, this is the guy we need. Might be a complete idiot, but don't care. Boom, the statistics say this is the guy we need. Third step. Where am I at? Am I at an hour and a half already? What's your watch say? Huh? What? Now, wait a minute. I'm all messed up. I say 9:30. 9:30. Is this this time or Detroit time? God wants you to be happy. Boy, I can't get that. You know, I'm going to give you a real deep theological mystery now, and people are not going to believe me. God cannot get mad. We're on the tape recorder, okay? God cannot get annoyed. God does not get ticked off at you. God does not get revengeful. God is not going to fix you. God is not going to get back. None of those things. None of them. The only thing God can do is love. The only thing. Now that sunshine is there. Now if you and I want to walk into the barn, back into the deep, dark, damp, dismal dungeons of despair, that's our own free choice. And I do it plenty. And blame other people. But His sunshine's there. Or you wouldn't be breathing right now. Now, you know, instead of the sense, you know, this protestations or proclamations of protestation, what we really should be doing is making other people aware of the sense of the divine that's in them. Standing front of them and reflect back their beauty, their goodness, and unconditional love. Unconditional love means nothing deserves that. I mean, you don't merit it. God loves you unconditionally, not because you're a good boy, a good little girl, because you kept the room clean, and you know, never said the spit, and did this, and never did that, and never did the other thing. You know, putting your gifts like we always want, you know, put our gifts on a pan scale. Someone else puts their gift. You take your gift away, I'll take mine away. No, all God is saying to you tonight is, I want you to remember me as forever loving you. Now, I meet a lot of people, and they say, I must be the dumbest, I must be the ugliest, I must be the weakest, I must be the stupidest, I must be the fattest, I must be the ugliest, I must be the negative. Boy, you don't ever screwed up like I screwed up. I mean, I screwed up like nobody screwed up, nobody could. You know what they're really doing? They're saying, there is no greater supreme being than me to forgive me, I'm unforgivable. Me and God are equal. I just got a letter from a hockey game that I played last year. Person cannot forgive themselves for something that's happened 15 years ago. It's driven to them a hospital twice already. And what they're really doing is saying, there is no God greater than me, forgive me. I mean, I can't forgive myself. How can God forgive me? And so we anthropomorphize. Anthropomorphization is a big word. You know what it does? Put human limitations on God and just pretend He's another human being. And then we can walk around all of our AA life and all of our Al-Anon life saying, I'm negative, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm skinny. And that's nice because we don't have to change. We never have to say, hey, God loves me. I better start growing up and responding. I better change. But we can get locked in our own little box that's all negative one. And people will say, boy, is that ever honest? Boy, is that ever honest? Boy, that's an honest nuts. It happened 15 years ago. Hasn't talked to his wife in 6 weeks. God loves you. No? And He is present in your life. God, every time we start talking about this, people start looking up, adoring God on His long white beard, on a pink cloud, and a lot of flaky angels coming, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But to hell with you. To hell with you. Who needs you? Get out of my way. I'm getting God before He gets me. I don't need anybody. You know, we all think we're going to get God because we're going to deserve His love. We're going to deserve His love to get to heaven. No way, no way, no way. That's conditional love. Oh, God. See, I believe when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, how many times did you say spit? And how many times did you do this? And He's not going to say, He's going to say, where are your brothers? Where are your sisters? Because I gave you one law, to learn to love one another. To love one another. To always do what is due for the person's happiness, development, security. When do we do that? Third step means made a decision. Did I like what was happening to me when I was drinking? Obviously, I gave you one little incident that happened 2 days after I drank. There were lots of others. I didn't like that. Nor did I like being locked up in the nut house. Now, that's 18 years ago. If I take another drink, I'm going to go back. No one's going to see me for 20 years. The hell with it. I'm not going for that long. I'm too selfish. So that means I make a decision. That means I'm going to go to AA. That means I'm going to start reading the continue to read this stuff. That means I'm going to study it. I'm going to take the time to internalize it. I'm going to take the time to do the things they suggest. Life's always changing. To turn our will and our care over to God, and somebody always, they want to hold the hoop up and say, God, you know, get me out of this scrape, get my job back, and then I'll start believing in you. No, no, no. God's will for you is that you be happy. God's will for you is that you use your freedom. God's will for you is that you beware of those good things in you, that you get a piece of paper and pencil, and you are able to put 10 good things down without. Now, I've never met a person go farther than 3. Sometimes they get to 5 and then they scratch them out, right? Because they won't talk at AA tables about those things. People won't talk about AA tables about, you know, the good things that are going on in them. About gratitude and appreciativeness and love and thankful for the people in their life and thankful what God's given. Maybe talk about some honest things, like maybe they're a little lonely at times. They're kind of scared. Because that's being weak and it's not macho to say I'm scared. Oh, right. Always got to be General Bull Moose. So we put God, you know, like another human being, and we say, oh, well, you know, after all I've done, he really can't do too much. That's anthropomorphization. That's limiting. That's not God. See, God is other. You've got to accept that. Right? Not us. And he is deeply involved in the things that go on in your life, or you wouldn't be here. And especially as members of AA and members of Al-Anon, he has touched you. Now, you might have all kinds of reasons why you're here. Well, after maybe 10 years, you'll start figuring out how come you're really here, you know. Judge, your wife, or boss, or kids, you know, we all got those other reasons, right? Took me 2 years before I could even talk to the guy who locked me up. Now, I thought he was picking on me, because I knew other guys that had worse records than me. He was just picking on me, right? And then I finally got the picture. Maybe I'd call him. I called him June the 16th this year, and I think that was the 16th year in a row I've called him. Say, thank you, Father, for what you did. I now appreciate that, because I know it wasn't easy. And nor did you have any, you know, guarantees of what was going to happen. But because of the fact that you did that, and God's grace and the AA program, there's been 23,000 other people who have been given an opportunity to live a meaningful, purposeful, rich life. God's not some boogeyman. Well, he's a Father who loves you. All I want you to do is remember me as forever loving you. Now, so many people live in fear. I sit at AA tables, people say God seems so inaccessible because they're still looking up there. You want to see recreated lives. You want to see recreated hearts. You want to see God's work. Start looking into each other's eyes. Instead of the yeah, but. Really. The most important law of the human mind is this. Appreciate somebody and that person will become greater to you. Belittle somebody and that person will become less to you. That's the whole reason of divorce. Appreciate somebody and that person will become more to you. Belittle somebody and that person will become less to you. It's the most important law of the human mind. But we get so caught up with all of these other things, you know. Be rude. Don't even know who the heck we're living with. Mountains are blocking the view. My world vision gets negative. And when it gets negative, that means I got to change. I got to stop and say, hey, Vaughn, what is wrong? What are you seeing wrongly? Your vision of yourself, your vision of the world, the vision of people in it, your vision of God. And that's what the third step is all about. God wants you to be joyful. He's not up there, you know, back hitting you on the head. He's compassionate. Kampati means suffer, to suffer with. That everything you've ever experienced in life, he's been with you. If you take the time to start figuring that out. In solidarity, or what we call sufficere, which Latin means self-disclosure. You've got to start opening up. You got to start, you know, being really honest, you know, in your relationship to God. You know, Martin Luther gave us the great, great, you know, insight. When you're praying to God, don't lie. Now, we kind of ruin prayers when we talk to, you know, printing presses and all that type of stuff. Prayer books, oh, dear God, how happy I am that I'll do everything you want me to do. And inside we're steaming with anger and rejection and hurt and disillusionment. We're not being honest. We're not saying, God, I'm really hurting. And God, I'm really miserable, you know? Jeremiah the prophet, curse the day I was ever born. You made a fool of me. You wanted me to be a prophet and I stutter. At least he let it all hang out. He was very honest about those things, eh? See, God's not some type of a mystery up in the sky. No, if he wanted you and I up in the sky, he would have put us up there as angels to help him. But he put us here, and this is where we got to work out our destiny, right here. With the people we are with. Not the ifs and buts, maybes. If it was 10 years earlier or 10 years later, well, we missed the day. Stick with ego boosters. I don't know where this great inventory kick came, and I don't know how to turn that one around. Everybody comes to treatment, they come to AA, and they start sweating the fourth step before they even get the first one, before they even are detoxified. The purpose of the fourth step is to bring out the goodness in you, the lovableness in you, the joyfulness in you, the cheerfulness in you, the dignity in you, the godlikeness in you, the beauty, lovableness, appreciation that you are a special, distinct person. Never to be repeated again. And all the trillions and billions of whatevers that have been created on the face of this earth, and yet people look at the fourth step and they say, well, boy, got to write all this negative stuff down. Back in 1959, in a Montreal hotel, I slugged the doorman. Big deal. What the hell's that got to do with 1983? And we got to write down, I'm the most worstest person. And there's people sitting in front of me right now saying, yeah, but, Father, no one's ever screwed up like I've screwed up. I mean, what I've done, nobody's ever done. That's false pride. That's that stubbornness. And if I was to put you on truth serum right now, sodium pentothal, you'd pop that one out. I would find 74 other people in this room say, yeah, you too, I did that too. I thought I was the only person who did it. But we all say, I'm the only one who did it. This is going to go to the grave with me. And I want to hide it in the closet. We go around fear, but boom, put the belt up to here. Nobody finds out what it's about. We live in misery. I go to AA groups and there's AA groups, inventory group every week. They got 600 pages of inventory. Why did I get up this morning? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why did I get up this morning? 3 pages later. Oh yeah, I had to go to the bathroom. Very good. They've missed the whole day. That's not what this program is about. I mean self-analysis for the purposes of self-analysis. Self-introspection for the purpose of self-introspection will tell you absolutely nothing about yourself. Keeping a diary will tell you nothing about yourself. The AA program is 5-7 steps to find out what makes you tick so you go back out and into your communities of relationships, marriages, and work, children, play, whatever. I got to find out who I am. What? You're changing every minute. Don't ask that question. Ask the question, who's God? What makes me enthusiastic? We had so many people hung up on this inventory thing. It's terrible. Let me take your inventory. Well, I took my inventory. Oh. Every piece. Father, will you take my fifth step? You better bring a lunch. Oh, it's going to take... What's life about? Have you been given the gift of life to beat up on yourself? Have you been given the gift of life to sit around AA tables and Al-Anon tables and start telling each other who is the most worstest thing that God ever created? Have you been given the gift of life to carry that on to other people?
Well, you better get honest with yourself.
Is that what attracts people to life? Is that what you see? Is that the way you want to live? I know people. I'm a priest. I get called to deathbeds. I've seen people who live the whole time, missed life completely. This the trick. They have missed the trip completely, and they fight it to the bitter end. Because they've never lived, never loved, never laughed. They were too darn preoccupied with self. Sorry, can't talk to you. I'm busy writing my inventory. All right, you want me to help? Sorry, I haven't got... I mean, in a world of one. I mean, separated from the proper object to love the good and to know the truth. We live miserably, alone. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows where you hurt. Nobody knows where you bleed. Nobody knows what the tender spots are. Nobody. You're totally isolated. Everything you do separates you from other people.
They don't understand.
Of course they don't understand. You never told them. They're supposed to be mind readers. We expect everybody else to have X-ray vision so they can see we're upset. Right? Totally caught up in ourselves. That's not what life is all about. Get out and live it. And give it your best shot. So what if you make a mistake? You make a mistake. And your tummy's not going to fall out. Your heart's not going to stop. At least you get out there and give. At least you've tried. You've lived. Maybe you've lost. So what? You tried. Better have loved and lost than never loved at all. Well, sure, alcoholism is a disease. Yes. It has a symptomatology of 44 things. That's what identifies it. Now, I could do a fifth step right now and involve everybody in this room. It would be just different times, different places. Different places. Different names. But alcoholism brings people into those behaviors. That's what we want to get rid of. So if they're there in the gut, get rid of them so that you can know freedom, happiness, peace, and serenity. Freedom means the way you relate to people. Openness, sufficiency, self-disclosure. Freedom means tenderness in the way I talk, in the way I look, in the way I listen, in the way I'm present, the way I touch. That's what freedom is. It doesn't mean I go skipping down, I'm free. No. It means I'm not hung up by all of these other things. Oh, geez, imagine if somebody really gets to know me. Oh, my God, if somebody really gets to know me and they find out everything about me, oh, my God, they won't accept me, so I better not let them know because that's total self-annihilation, so I better build the walls and we're right back to the same game. Game. Psychological encounter between two people so you don't have to get to know each other. Go through the four step. Find out what makes you tick. Do it as the book says. The opposite of fear is love. Okay, now what are your loves? Well, and then what do you do? People keep telling me, oh, God. Love to play the piano. When's the last time you played? 1971. Love flowers. When's the last time you had a garden? Well, 8 years ago. It means action. So that's what we're, got to get them down. Like I flew on the airplane today. When they met me, I flew with a lady. She was 87 years old today. She had more spunk in her than I have. Right? Flying air with her puppy dog. That's the sturdiest of my puppy dogs, okay. So I'll send her down below. Where was I? Springfield. Long time ago, a guy said to me, send me to the airport. This guy in AA is dead now. He says, go meet him. I said, how the heck am I going to meet him in an airport? I mean, Detroit Metropolitan Airport. He says, you'll meet him. He'll have a smile on his face. He'll be trying to help somebody. And by God, I went out to that airport and I picked him out like nobody's business. Right? Okay, ever see people in an airport? They look worse than church on Sunday. They're really in pain. Pain! Oh my God, time. I should talk to you about time. Never take the time to help some stranger. So ever since he said that to me, I help people in airports. And because I have a collar on, they don't think they're going to get the tact. All I see are souls, anyway. So. Little black lady, little black baby. Beautiful black woman. Little black baby was 2 weeks old. She's in Atlanta. And you land, you get on buses, and you're driving around. Oh, my God, I don't know what happens. You're going all the way to the airport. And she had a guitar. I said, let me take the guitar in the bag. So we'll get on. I said, what flight? She said, that's it. I'm coming up. You're on the ground. You're walking up the steps, and the flight attendant calls, and the lady's right behind me with the little black, beautiful baby. And she, the flight attendant goes, father plays the guitar. I said, I bought it for my kid. It took me 48 minutes to get a cup of coffee on that flight. I had red on the inside of my jacket, a red flag. She says, you're not supposed to wear red. I said, you never met a cardinal. Today she was 87 years old. Fantastic lady. Coming out here. 7 o'clock going out of school. Stays here for the wintertime. Goes back up to New York. And her puppy dog. So we had all kinds of interesting things going on. Anyway, what do you want to do with life? Want to walk around life? Oh, what a pain this is. Sometimes kids come to me in treatment. Elderly people come to me in treatment. I say, how old are you? They say, I'm 40. I said, good, you got 30 years to go. God, don't remind me. That's the gift of life. I see death enough. I see it a lot because, you know, I kind of lead a sheltered life, so I get called upon to do a lot of things. You know, people want Father Quinn to show up at their bed, and I see when, you know, when people have lived a meaningful, purposeful, rich life, unselfishly. To be unselfish, the cause of all of our problems are selfishness, self-centeredness. That, we believe, is the cause of our problems. Self-seeking, self-pity. We step on the toes of others. They retaliate. War! Power struggle! I'll fix you. Get something on the person and hold it behind your back till they step in front of you. Slap! Oh, got him. Power struggle. In AA, it's got to be very different. It's got to be built on weakness, acceptance of our illness, disease. Total disarmament. Total disarmament. Total vulnerability. I've been hurt once. I'll never open myself up to be hurt again. Good. Come and see me and we'll take you to church. I'll bury you. I have some friends that are morticians. You're dead!
I'll never be hurt again.
Yeah, you get hurt a lot. So what? You know? That's how you grow up, a little stretch mark. But you got to make some sense into it. You know? It's there for a purpose. Find out what makes you enthusiastic. Find out what your hopes are. Find out what your aspirations are. What do you want to, if they were doing a movie of your life, what do you would write the script to be? What do you want on the tombstone? You know what the tomorrows are? The tomorrows and the tomorrows of your life are what you're doing today, just a little more of the same. In the fifth step, you sit down with another human being and you say, this is me. This is me. Self-disclosure. This is what alcoholism cost in my life, in my marriage, in my life, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And these are the future things that I want to happen in life. Every action that's meaningful with the alcohol and the alcoholic family is positive, action-oriented to the future. God does not give one red hoot about the past. Really. So please, forget it. If it's bugging you, put it down, tell it to somebody, get rid of it. You're never going to live it again. I get so many letters. Nobody can forgive me for the things that I've done. That is totally wrong. We are all human beings. We are all sinners. We are all living in a broken human condition. We all need salvation. We need God's help. We need each other, you know. And every sin you've ever committed is a shortcut to love. Quit playing God. So we get in the fifth step and you sit down with people and you say, hey, this is me. And these are my aspirations, my hopes. This is what I want the script to be. This is what I want the tombstone to be. This is what I want people to remember. Okay, these are the things that mess me up in life. Okay, fine. Get rid of them. All God's saying is I want you to remember me as forever loving you. I don't care what went on in the past. When Christ walked into those disciples who promised that they would stay with him all his life, we'll never let you down. You're going to betray me. Never. And you know what happened, Judas Iscariot came, right? And Peter, he was a drunk. Peter was going to be the first pope. Woo, whoopee, you know, white shoes and all. I'll get an 8-horse chariot, yeah. I'll never deny you. Oh, no, a little 15-year-old girl comes up to Peter and says, hey, Peter, you know him, don't you? She says, I never saw the guy before in my life. After they all denied him, the only one saved him, the teeny bubber, our Lord appeared to them, right? And they're all sitting there saying, oh, geez, Ma, look what they've done to our boss now. Did we ever get sucked in? We thought we were going to be the big leaders of this great army with nothing but power and money. And look at us now. We're all caught in this room dying of fear because if they come in this room, they'll decapitate us. Wow, what a mistake. Our Lord came into them and he didn't do what I would have done. You know, I would have walked into that room on Easter Sunday and said, where the hell were you guys Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock? Sure, throw a little salt in the wounds. It's not the people hurt us, no, not the lashes, just people a little salt in the wounds. You know, I know people have been in the program 18 years, right? If he weren't an alcoholic, his teeth would be straight. If he weren't an alcoholic, we'd have enough money to send him to the dentist. You know, 18 years, the guy's been slugging it out, you know? Keep bringing it back. Don't ever let it go. That's not what our Lord said. And that's what he's saying to you tonight, especially the new people. Peace. Shalom. I love you, I understand. Now, if you can get out of yourself and your own self-little preoccupation and start believing that, you know, and saying there is hope, which is a personal commitment to the not yet certain, I don't know how I'm going to die, but I've been doing this since 65 and it works pretty darn well and it looks like a lot of other people have and they look pretty darn well to me. Pete, shalom, I love you, I understand. Forget about all of the other stuff and say, hey, the future, positive action oriented to the future. What do I want my life to be? You know, if I want to be a carpenter, then I better start hammering nails in wood. If I want to play the piano, I better start practicing, right? Whatever. Don't wish it to happen, because it won't happen. But live it to happen, and it will. The only way you're going to get good positive actions about yourself and start developing self-worth, in which you are then able to practice unconditional love, that is not laying a whole bunch of demands on people, is start doing good positive action. Don't do the good positive action, you won't get the good negative, the good positive feelings. But do negative things and you'll go into depression and worry and self-pity. Do selfish things, more depression, worry, self-pity. Do things for me where I step on other people, more worry, self-pity, depression. What's the use? You know, what goes around comes around. Now start getting out of yourself in a little bit of service to other people, and that's what AA and Al-Anon is all about. And all of a sudden you realize that the sun's not, the mountains don't block the view so much anymore. And you kind of get a different world vision. I know a guy left Detroit 2 years ago because the sidewalks were too narrow. I mean, this guy was really getting negative. The dance starts at 10. Where's the band? I'm only at step 5, and there's 12 traditions, and then there's 12 concepts. I was telling him at the dinner table tonight, I can do it. I done it, because I was in a maximum security jail once, and of course, at that particular one, I won't mention, but the only reason why they came to the AA meeting was to get the coffee, the donuts, and bitch about the wardens, and they heckled me. In the first couple of rows, I said, oh, baby, it's the last time you'll ever do that. 7 hours later, I quit. Guy says, I gotta go. Tie a knot. It's the last time you'll ever abuse this program. Said, now make sure you don't come for the coffee and the donut. But I do it. Empty barrels make an awful lot of noise. Not really. All I'm saying is, hey, you want to have some fun in life? You know, the only reason why people do things repetitively is because it is rewarding for them to do. That's what alcoholism is, too. Also, if alcoholism wasn't rewarding for you in the beginning, you would not continue to drink. You remember the times where your wife or the Al-Anon said to you, if you're going to drink tonight, I'm going to stick with you drink for drink and show you what a fool you make of yourself, right? And after 5 drinks, they were messing up the living room, you know, the car. All you said was, geez, you know, amateurs can't stay with us, you know. Clean up your mess. Lordy, lordy, lord. Well, it was rewarding in the beginning. Then cellular tissue breakdown, and the liver didn't oxidize at 8 ounces an hour, and then we start getting drunk on less booze, and then we start saying, hey, how come there's trouble? Can't be booze, because I was the best drinker. And after 5 years, we said, okay, Father, I'll admit, there's a problem. It's the wife. So we get a new wife, and it'll change. You know, it sure changed. It got worse, right? And after another 5 years, we finally admitted, yeah, we better stop drinking. Right? But now, if that life doesn't become more meaningful and purposeful, you know, unless it doesn't have, you know, the reasons that why we come into AA is because we're going to lose something, wife or liver or boss or, you know, job or car or pancreas or kids, so we come in. And after 4 months, that's got to change. So that at the end of the first year, the only reason why we stay in because life is more meaningful, purposeful, rich, and fulfilling. And if we're still at the end of year one saying, boy, well, I'm a terrible person, and boy, you know, what are you doing for excitement? Nothing. You know. What are you doing to have fun? Nothing. Life's nothing but a big sandwich, I gotta take a bigger bite every day. Valley of tears. Terrible. It's not. And the only reason why we do it again repetitively is because life is more meaningful. Now, that's up to us, you know. I can't blame that on anybody else but myself. Oh, holy. If I want to go out and give it my best shot, give it my best shot. Hey, I do that all the time. I get a lot of criticism. Sure. I've got a philosophy, and I get kicked in the fanny lots of times, but I got a philosophy in life that if they're kicking me in the fanny, it proves to me one thing, I'm out front. And if they're running me out of town, I get out front of the runner and can look like a parade, right? So I have 6 fire trucks, and I can have my own parade anytime. That's what it is. You know, and it's all here. But it means I got to take a little time. I got to pray. I got to take time for solitude, you know. There's beautiful places to do it in. I wish I could talk to you about my treatment centers. They're fabulous. Fabulous. I got more stuff going on up there. I'm the world's worst banjo player, but I have a banjo band. Oh, it's fantastic. I always make sure there's five good banjo players on the other side of me. I appear on television, everybody thinks it's great. One guy even asked me, do you have rubber band strings or aerial strings, right? Music is great. Music's great. I love music. When's the last time you played? Oh, I haven't played in 10 years. But... how do you want to live? Not yeah. Program of attraction. And that's what it's all about. What gratitude is, again, in the action part of the program, I got to skip a few steps here. I'll have you here all night long. You know, but the fifth step, when you take that fifth step, you finally sit down with somebody and say, this is me. Self-disclosure. These are my hopes, my loves, my aspirations. These are the negative things. Do not want them to happen again. This is the way I want to live my life. This is what I'm going to commit my life to, and I'm not doing that. Check me up on that. And say, this is me. This is where I hurt. This is where I bleed. This is where I cry. And for the first time in your life, I don't care if you've been in a Catholic seminary like I was for 10 years or whatever, 8 in medical school. For the first time in your life, you're going to accept your humanity. And that means you're going to accept creaturehood. And creaturehood means automatically I've accepted a creator other than myself. And then I start learning something about forgiveness. Now, this is very profound. You can go to all the AA meetings in the world, all the AA roundups. You'll never know what I'm talking to until you sit down with somebody and say, this is me. And you realize that that person doesn't fall apart and their heart doesn't stop, you know. And you're just an alcoholic like all of us, or an AA member, Al-Anon member, all of us. They have to go through the four-step written, take them to somebody else, fifth step. Get rid of all of that hostility so it can be turned into hospitality so they can accept people coming into their life as a bearer of gifts. Boy, I talk about that at some marriage counters, and my God, I almost get shot. I mean, I'm not even talking about alcoholics, and you accept your husband as a bearer of gifts. What? Terrible. Every time I do a marriage, I make everybody in the church, you know, whose marriage, express their marriage vows again and tell each other that they love each other. Geez, guys, faint. Choke. Can't do it. You do that, you sit down with somebody, right? And then you finally accept your creaturehood. You accept your creaturehood and a creator other than you. And all of a sudden you know that there's such a thing as forgiveness at gut level. And you start smiling. Because then all of a sudden you get a sense of the divine origin that's in you. All of a sudden you get an awareness of the gifts. All of a sudden you get an awareness where things start pointing to something else. Trees become just more than trees. They become little signs which point things about who created the world. We had a beautiful drive down here today, and that's what I was thinking about. Flowers. You know why birds sing? Because they have a song. What is your song? They haven't got one. Get one. Crew. Well, you haven't got a song, I don't want to be with you. I stick with winners. For God's sake, stick with ego boosters. You do not need people around you saying, let me tell you what your inventory is. You know what I think you should do? And this, let me tell you this, and you better do this, and you better do that. Blow it out your left ear. I know what's wrong with me. I got to live with me. I know better than anybody else. I don't need people coming up and telling me, this is what's wrong with you, this is what's wrong with you. And neither do you. You need people in front of you that's going to reflect back the beauty of God's creation in you, the twinkle of their eye, and you better start doing that to each other. You know? The world, and all of a sudden, you know, all the world needs is love, and we kind of look around and expect other people are going to come to us through an electronic machine. Next, we're going to think computers can give it to us. No. We dehumanize just about everything, so I guess, well, you know, that's the next thing. You can only give it. You got to do it. See, if you haven't done those things which I'm talking about, you're never going to know what it's all about. You're still going to fight life, dredge through. You know how many hours I work today? I'm a self-made man. It doesn't impress me one bit. I want to know how many hours you played today. You know, we've got to have play time so that we can come back to the real things in life and do them more enthusiastically. Be a little bit more aware of God's grace in our life. Be a little bit more aware of God's love in our life. And God's not up there. Start looking at each other's eyeballs. Commitment decisions. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about feelings and emotions and Hollywood and isn't it lovey-dovey and cozy-wozy and kissy-kissy, hug your face up. Decisions and commitments. You know, you commit yourself to this program, you've made this world a better place to live in. That's an act of love. You commit yourself to Al-Anon, you've made this world a better place to live in. That's an act of love. The world becomes a better place because of that. And that's the greatest power in the world. That's the power that sets us free. The bond of faith which unites us, which is the AA and Al-Anon philosophy, and the power of love which sets us free. And that's what gets you to meetings. Have you ever had the opportunity to go to an AA meeting, walk in, and there's not another human being in the room? Think of that sometimes when you don't think you should go. I have. I've sent people where there's nobody, and they died. Because it was raining. But gratitude, I think gratitude somewhere in the program, the amount of blood, sweat, tears, energy that I'm willing to expend so that other people will be instilled with an idea that I succeed because of the things that I am doing. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. The amount of blood, sweat, tears, energy that I am willing to expend to instill in other people a desire that I'm going to succeed because of what I am doing based on my action. Now, you might think gratitude means, dear God, how thanky I am for all the things you've given me. Praying is a love relationship to God, being honest with Him. Praying for other people. Yeah, you hear, pray for your enemies. Yeah, but that means identify with their pain. Take their pain, their resentment, their hostility, the things they're dumping you in, really own it. Really make it part of yours. Really live with it for a while and start understanding it, how it got there, and then pray to lessen their load. How many people want to pray for their enemy and say, God, please fix that enemy of mine? Other. Outside. Different. Own that enemy's resentment, fear, threats, hostility, misunderstanding. Let it become part of you and live with it for a while. And live with it till you can really understand it and start offering it up. Say, maybe lighten the load. Maybe that person, you know, when sees you, will not be responding the same way. Gratitude. See, before we came into AA and Al-Anon, our theme song was, I'll Do It My Way. The great, whoever wrote that song, Blue Eyes, didn't write it, but he sings it, My Way. And out of fear and self-sufficiency and all of the myths which we grow up with and narcissism, I don't need anybody, leave me alone. I remember saying words once to a priest who was sitting me down to talk to me, and I said, catch me if you can. I said those words 19 years ago, but I can remember them. Like icicles tonight, right? Because they caught me. And those guys stayed watching television. You know, nothing happened in their life. Thank God they caught me. I'd hate to be back there watching television. So what I am saying is you got to learn a way to live that means loving people. And that means, you know, old putt's going to have to get up at 4:30 in the morning or something to get me to the airport. That's what it's all about, you know? He'd rather be in bed. I'd rather be in bed. So what? You know, I got to go play hockey now. Am I going to win the hockey games, lose the hockey games? I don't know. I'm going to win. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to make a lot of people laugh. A lot of people laugh because I'm the chief clown. Being the goaltender, I'm on the ice all night long. And I'm going to make some money for charity. And they're going to, you know, lots of good things are going to happen. But I don't, you know, maybe they'll put the puck in my face. Well, maybe they will. I'll duck. How do you want to live? No, I could have said, I can't go. So all the rest of the team are watching that football, or they did watch that football game at Notre Dame today. Well, all the Flying Fathers are invited to go to football. Notre Dame lost, by the way. Yeah. Terrible. But I'll meet them. If I'd done one thing, it's just, you know, See, I hate being a circuit speaker. Yuck. Remind the newcomer that their recovery is not dependent upon people, but upon their union with God. He and the newcomer must walk hand in hand with God. Page 99, page 100, I know it's there. So it's not on people, but, you know, it's the... Both you and the new person, there's another must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. That's what it's about. Joy. Well, the dance started 15 minutes ago. I don't see anybody dancing, but at least you got comfortable chairs tonight. All right, I have another thing which I absolutely insist which you do, is there is to be no applause, no clapping. God, I am just a drunk sharing stories of what I have learned in AA. Not just stories, but experiences in the book. You know, and the worst thing that we do is we start, you know, making big personalities out of AA people. Now, if you want me to, you know, come as an entertainer, it's a different story. We're not very good there. I can tell a lot of funny stories if that tape recorder wasn't on. I could. Right? Please. Please. You know, there's an awful lot of suffering in this country. You and I are free tonight. We can learn, teach, talk to each other, listen, touch, and be tender. There's a lot of hurt going on in this country now because of Beirut. And what's the other place? I can't think of the name right now. Yeah. My own stepbrother's the High Commissioner of Canada down through there. Right? Awful lot. Why? People saying, why God? Why'd you do this? Why God? Why me? Why my kids suffering? Why? And yet you and I are in this room and we should be saying, why God have we been given the opportunity to be free? Sure, we've got bumps to take, but you know, open up your heart and start accepting these strangers coming as the bearer of gifts. Get rid of the prejudices. Get rid of the hates. Get rid of all that crazy stuff we learn and learn that life is an experience in the future. You know, so after I stop talking, we pass baskets around? No? This isn't even a Catholic place. I've never seen so many people together without a collection. I thought you'd at least do some religious and pick up a collection. But you are going to play bingo, I read someplace. So there are Catholics here. I knew it, right? Well, what's after me? The Lord's Prayer? Immediately? Okay, after I stop, then it's the Lord's Prayer. And none of this applause stuff. I take great exception to that because this is a gift. And you know what happens? All of a sudden you start believing you're the cause of the gift. And that's when omnipotence comes back in and it makes my life much more miserable. You know, I get jealous now when people don't have to extend parking lots when I'm showing up to talk, you know. And if they can't fill Pontiac Stadium with 83,000 people, I don't think I'll go, you know. No, I'm just kidding about that. It's a gift, and you and I got the gift. You got the same gift I've got, even if you've only been around one day. So I quit with a poem which I stole from Father Joe Martin. And once I was giving an AA talk, and I said, there's a poem here that I got from a priest who's a little more famous than I am. I forgot his name. I'm like, hell, I forgot his name. I just wouldn't say it. And in the mail, about a month later, I got a T-shirt that said, who the hell is Father Joe Martin anyway, right? So Father Joe Martin came to visit me in Detroit, and I had that T-shirt on under my bib, and I showed it to him. He thought it was great. When he left, I took it off my back and threw it in the car window, and he drove off with it. So we do this, and then you pray silently after. I do not wish you joy without a sorrow, nor endless day without the healing dark, nor brilliant sun without the cooling shadow, nor tides that never turn against your bark. I wish you faith, hope, love, strength, wisdom, good gold enough